Hello and welcome everyone to all of our beloved City Church locations, our friends and family in person, online, listening in on the podcast. Thanks for being with us in these next few moments. Today we are wrapping up the series of talk episodes. Freedom looks good on you. I pray that God has spoken to you, that God has healed some hurts in you, has guided you and led you through this series of talk episodes, no matter where you are on your faithing journey. Whether you're new to faith and spirituality or exploring Jesus for the first time, or you've been a long-time Jesus follower still today, I do believe today will be one more opportunity to help you and to encourage you and to challenge you, to serve you, but to help you take one more step toward truth about God and about faith and about yourself. The point scriptures that have guided our exploration for the past 18 weeks are found in the library of books we call the Bible today, in the book of John, John 8:32 and verse 36 is, "And you will know the truth, friends, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free," so truth is revealed to us in Jesus Christ, "and if the Son sets you free from sin, then become a true and son and daughter and be unquestionably free." Jesus repeatedly teaches us that when we believe on him, which believing is simply a posture of surrender, to receive his unfailing, everlasting, cascading love toward us for you and I, and he gives you this gift of life and life to the fullest. And this life to the fullest is brought to you by the Holy Spirit, empowering you to continue living in the freedom that he's designed you to live in as you follow Jesus. Your followership of Jesus is empowered by the Holy Spirit, partnered with your faith. This is relationship. It's awesome. Hey, if you missed any of this freedom series, I encourage you, catch up on what you may have missed on Spotify, on the podcast, or on our YouTube channel. Seize the opportunity to hear what God may be trying to speak to you in your life and your heart through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is changing circumstances, friends. He is healing old wounds and hurts. He is setting people free from clicking subscribe and scrolling through the lies that Satan wants to deceive you with. God is setting us free from these half-truth lies that confuse us and rob us, prevent us from living in our gifted life of freedom in Jesus Christ. Friends, freedom does look good on you. Will you allow the Holy Spirit today to reveal to you where you have come into agreement with the lies of Satan that have maybe been spoken over you, or that you have spoken over yourself, or maybe have come to life through the thought seed that have been planted in your mind? Jesus wants to absorb your brokenness, stubbornness, pain and past hurts, shame and grief, and in return fill you full of new life, light and love. Are you still with me? Oh, God is so good. And from within this posture of freedom that we've been exploring, will you engage with me in this moment in giving thanks, in praising Jesus, in giving him good worship today? We value you, God. We love you all around the room. Just give him a praise. We thank you for being with us. We need you. So we give good worship to a good God. We give it to you. Clap your hands unto the Lord if you are in the room with us today. All you have been, you have been rescued by Jesus. All of you who have been rescued by Jesus, who have been set free, rescued from our brokenness and our pain, your hurt and shame and sin, rescued, set free, your hurt, shame and sin, gifted eternal life. And the Holy Spirit here and now is here to help you champion your life of holiness with God. See, the Holy Spirit isn't just to get you saved so you get to heaven when you die. No, it's more than that, friends. The Holy Spirit's here and now in you to help you champion your life now. A little taste of heaven here. So what do we do? When we walk in the Holy Spirit, we're ushering heaven into earth. When we don't walk in the Holy Spirit, when we walk outside of Christ, we usher hell into earth. And that's not what we want to do. We want to usher heaven to earth, a taste of heaven here and now. God here on this earth through you and I. Oh man, I pray that you give him some worship today. Hey, if any man is in Jesus Christ, he is a new creation. That's found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he is new. We're talking about finding freedom today, walking in freedom. This is my freedom in action. This is the sound of freedom. And sometimes it gets loud, doesn't it? Thank you, Jesus, for changing hearts and minds and pathways and rhythms, our passions. Remember last week we talked about pouring out our hearts to God in a praise response to his faithfulness. Thank God that we are not restricted to worshiping God just in our mind or or through watching other people praise and worship, or through our rituals and rites of passages. No, we can worship Him with our lips and from the bottom of our heart and soul, from way down deep, where some of us are groaning and sometimes our pains are stuffed away. And for some of you, where your deepest longings and gratitude, you find yourself so very blessed and you're overwhelmed with thankfulness and you want to shout out to the Lord God Most High as you pour out your heart to a good God in good worship. We're talking about a good God today who deserves good worship. The week before, we talked about bringing gifts, reaching into our treasure box and giving Him our first and our best, and then letting Him take care of the rest. We often struggle with this as humanity. We often want to hoard and take care of ourselves in all kinds of different ways that we're not meant to, but we can trust in God to be our provider. And that's a beautiful. So what do? We give our first and our best and let Him do the rest. Before that, we talked about lifting up holy hands, lifting up our hands to God in good worship of a good God. The world gets it when they go to a sporting event or to a music conference concert. Some of you have been to some of those, and all kinds of good worship. Wow, you cheer for your team, but it's not of a good God. It's great worship, but not of a good God. We have learned that God is seeking true worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we often are hesitant to give good worship to a good God with our whole heart, with our whole body, with all of our strength. So today, as we wrap up Freedom Looks Good on You, let's look at one last posture of worship: bowing your knees, kneeling down. Friends, this is our freedom in action, bowing our knees. I know and have heard that you want freedom to do all kinds of other things around us today, don't you? That this world wants to distract you with. But I know God is scouring the earth. He's searching the earth, looking and seeking for true worshipers. Who is willing, alongside me, to step up into the calling of our Father to be a worshiper in spirit and in truth? All right, today, let's talk about bowing our knees, kneeling before God in an act of surrender and worship. In fact, I want to go back to a portion of what many would call the Christmas story, which we looked at a couple weeks ago, Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. Now, this is talking about when the wise men or the magi actually experienced Christ for the first time. The story goes like this: when the wise men saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now, why were they overjoyed? Because for literally centuries upon centuries, they were waiting, hoping, praying, and believing that one day God would send a Messiah, the Savior, a rescuer of the world. And the wise men, these magi, believed that this was that moment when Jesus was born. Now, verse 11 says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. So what did they do? Let's all say this aloud. What did they do when they saw Jesus? They bowed down and worshiped Him. They bowed down and worshiped Him. Now, what's interesting is this. Most of the time when we picture this, we visualize the wise men or magi kneeling down before the baby Jesus in this, you know, cradle or this this baby manger kind of thing in a barn or in a cave. Little bitty 4-day-old baby or 8-day-old baby or 2-week-old baby or whatever we think. Why do we do that? Because every Christmas card that you've ever seen with wise men has wise men bowing down before a little baby. But in reality, and many of you may not know this, scholars believe that Jesus was not a baby, but the chances are very good that He was actually a toddler. And we talked about this as well. At this time in this story, He was believed to be around 2 or 3 years of age already by the time the Magi got there. Remember, they had just arrived and traveled 1,500 kilometers or so just to get to Him. And according to their judgment, Jesus was probably around this 2 or 3 years of age, a toddler. A few of you probably have toddlers at home running around, or maybe you've been around toddlers and you're like, I need out of here for about 2 or 3 minutes, and that's all you can handle without losing your mind. I remember when my kids were toddlers, you know, stinky and messy and covered in jam and peanut butter and mashed potatoes, banging their toys on the table and everything they could, making all kinds of funny noises, crying and sniffling like Drew, my son, when he was young. Oh man. We would go to pick him up and he'd go kind of limp kind of thing. Like, come on, I'm trying to get you ready to go here. And lots of work, right? And not enough sleep. Can't wait to have a quiet moment. And when all else fails, you cave in and you buy them that toy anyway, don't we? Parents, keep up the good work, raising up your children in the house of Lord, in the fear of the Lord, impressing upon them the values and teachings of Jesus. It isn't easy. It will have sweat, tears, and blood sometimes, Come on, son, daughter, this is the Jesus way. I pray that you learn to impress upon your children the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he won't depart from it. So start young. Don't worry about it. Start young. Start young. Train them up. It's okay. When he's old, he won't depart from the ways of Jesus. 3 John 1:4 writes this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. That's right. All of this to say, when the Magi were bowing down, they were bowing down before a toddler. You thought the virgin birth was amazing? Here are Magi who were waiting on and watching for the coming Messiah, bowing down before a toddler and saying, I worship you. Now, I want to talk to you about kneeling in the presence of the living God. Culturally speaking, most of us don't go around kneeling anymore, do we? Some of you, the last time you knelt was when you were scuffing around looking for your contact lenses, trying to find it. I can't see it. Some of you, the last time you knelt is when you proposed to your wife or husband. Marry me, babe. For some of you, it was kneeling for a picture, your last picture for your hockey team or your football team or whatever. Cheese. Or scrubbing the tub out for the third time this year. Well, hopefully more. It's like lifting our hands in worship. Many of us did that for the first time a couple weeks ago as an act of worship in church. It's beautiful to be able to do this. It pushes us out of our comfort zone. This is not something we typically do in our day-to-day lives, lifting our hands and pouring out our hearts and now kneeling before God, bringing gifts. Yet when you look at God's word, what we call the scripture, you're going to see over and over again opportunities to kneel down in humble submission and awe to the goodness of God. In fact, Psalms 95:6-7 says, the psalmist speaks to us and says this, come, let us do what? Let's all say this aloud to everyone together. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let's do what? Let us kneel. Let us bow down before the Lord our Maker. Let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, our Creator, because He is our God and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before our Maker. Now, there's an interesting Hebrew word that's actually translated as worship. It's the word shaka. This word is used 170 times in the Bible. What this word means is to bow down low, to kneel in worship. It doesn't mean just worship, but inside this word is the posture of kneeling in worship. 170 times in scripture, friends, we're told in this word to kneel before God in worship. Now, one of the reasons why I believe culturally we don't kneel more often is because fundamentally we don't understand and comprehend the holiness of God. His perfection, His beauty, His power. You see, if we understood just how holy God is, then we would want to be low before Him and bow before Him in worship. You see, so holy is the living God that mortal men cannot look upon Him in His essential being and live. See, looking at whenever Moses, one of the ancient prophets of old in the Hebrew Bible, he wanted to see the glory of God. And God said to him, you can't handle my full glory. So what I'll do, I'll pass by you, but you've got to cover your face. You've got to put a veil on your face. You can only see my backside, the tail, when it goes by, because you cannot look upon my face and live. In fact, in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, no one was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies except for the high priest. And only then, once a year, because it was believed you could not go into where they believed that God would dwell or you would not live. They would actually, when the high priest would go in, they would actually tie a rope around his leg just in case they heard a thump and he wasn't quite right with God. They're going to be pulling him out because they weren't even sure if he could live in the presence of God. So holy is our God that mortal men cannot look upon Him in His purest essence and even live. Now, I remember times and moments in my life personally spending time in pursuit of the presence of the living God, pushing away distractions in my life, surrendering my will and humanity, not my will, but Your be done, God. There have been moments that I felt the tangible presence of the living God in such a powerful way that I would buckle to my knees in awe and in reverence of the God who created the universe with His voice, like a melted mess on the floor. Thank you, God. Thank you so much, God, for me to be in Your presence in this moment. I thank You that I can be in Your presence. Oh, man, for loving me. Thank You. You are so good. You are my Lord. my forgiver, my leader, my king of my life. See, when you start to comprehend that God, the glory of God, the one who spoke and created everything, spoke into existence, suddenly kneeling down before him seems like the right thing to do. In fact, what's incredibly interesting to me is I cannot find a single place in the Bible where God tells us to bow down to him. God does not tell us or demand us to bow down to him. It's almost as if he just assumes we will, because he knows who he is and what he's done for us. Think about it. God doesn't tell us to bow down. The only thing he says about bowing is, don't bow down to anyone else. Don't bow down to any other false idols. Don't put any other gods before me is what he says. Not your money, not your time, not your vacation packages, not your energy, your spouses, nor your children. No other gods. Nothing that outvalues God and his worship. Because God literally almost assumes that when we know who he is and what he has done for us, we will want to kneel and bow before him and worship, because he's a good and powerful God. Come on, friends, let us bow down today and worship before our God. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Creator. What I want to do today is to simply inspire you to come to worship, to come to worship him, not just to be at a worship service or just to worship at church, but to let your whole life be full of good worship to a good God. In all of my rhythms and passions and motivations, in every one of my desires, I give good worship to a good God. This is my freedom in action. It looks so good on you, friends. To lift up holy hands with every opportunity that I have to God in worship. To bring my gifts of money and time and energy as an act of worship unto God. To pour out my heart to him and worship. And every now and again, or perhaps for you even often, or maybe even for the first time, to get down on your knees, or maybe even a little lower than your knees, getting down prostrate on your face and say, God, I want there to be less of me and more of you, and offering up a sweet and fragrant sacrifice of praise and worship to a good God. Man, he's so good. Pausing in the middle of all your hustling and all your bustling, all in your world is crazy sometimes. To think about the God that so loved the world that he became one of us, not born in a palace, but in a hole in the wall, in a cave, to symbolize that he's not too far reaching, that he came for the lowest of the low, based on who he is and what he did, sometimes our only reasonable response is to bow down, kneel before him, and worship him. So here's what I want to do to help you along in this discovery today. I want to give you three reasons why you might want to bow before God. If you're taking notes, here's the first one: to kneel in pursuit. To kneel before God in pursuit. In fact, in Mark's gospel, in Mark 10 and 17, there's a really interesting story about a very rich guy. He had everything that everybody would think that he had needed, and yet he was missing something and he knew it. How many of you feel like that? I'm missing something today and I know it. Here's how the story goes in verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him. And what did this guy do? Say it aloud. He fell on his knees before Jesus. He said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, honestly, some of you have probably read this passage before 100 times and never noticed his posture. Probably like me, focused on the question, right? Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This guy literally fell on his knees, collapsed before Jesus. He was desperate, knowing he already had everything that everybody else wanted, but he was still missing what everybody still needs. And in pursuit of the answer to that one question, he fell to his knees before God. Some of you right now, you may be at that place in your life where when you're not, maybe not a committed Jesus follower, and you know it. You may believe in God, but he's not the sole pursuit of your life or your heart. You're not quite a fully devoted follower of Jesus. You're still scratching the surface. And some of you, you may not even know what you believe. You're questioning, is there even a God? Could there be a God? And if there is, where does Jesus fit in with all these other religions around me? Beloved Church, I want to let you know, Beloved City Church is a great place to investigate and explore these questions. And I want to encourage you, if that's where you are, here's what you might do. You might decide, this is pretty important. I don't want to miss this opportunity. So therefore, I'm going to kneel just in case, right? I don't even know if I'm kneeling to a God I believe in. I don't know who he is, but I'm going to kneel just in case. And I'm going to ask some questions. You might kneel in, you might be kneeling in pursuit and pray something similarly like this. God, if you're really real, if you're really there, show me. If it's really you, reveal yourself to me. But I just want to warn you, if you pray a prayer like that, I believe it's worth warning you because you're going to have to get ready, because when you draw near to God, God draws near to you. And there may be some of you, at some point you might say, you know what? This is a pretty serious thing to me in my life. I'm going to kneel in pursuit of Jesus, just like this rich young ruler did. God, you're so good. There are others of you in the room or listening online. You are a follower of Jesus, but you don't necessarily need to kneel in pursuit, but you may need to kneel, this is the second one, to kneel in repentance. You may need to kneel in repentance. You see, every now and then, or sometimes often, we do things that really break the heart of God and live outside of our design of what Christ has designed us to live as and hurt our lives or hurt other people even. I tell you, I don't know why, but the pandemic has been a magnifier, hasn't it? The good times really seem to be pretty good. And the hard times seem to be really, really hard. It's been a magnifier. It's exposed all kinds of cracks and fissures in our character, our competence, and in our capacity. If you've done something against someone, directly against God, or directly against someone that you love, this time has seemed to magnify the weight of that sin and shame and brokenness. Some of you right now, you may be smiling on the outside, but you're grieving on the inside because you've done something to hurt someone that you love deeply. There's a powerful example of kneeling in repentance in Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 5. Peter, who was a fisherman, is fishing all day long and he didn't catch anything. Jesus comes up and says, hey, why don't you throw the net on the other side of the boat? Now, put yourself in Peter's place. The boat's this narrow little thing. We're not talking about big ships like today. If you and I were Peter, you and I might think, you're a carpenter, so why don't you go build me a table? I'll catch the fish. I'll put the fish in. Don't bother giving me fishing advice. Maybe, right? You can imagine, I just threw the net on the other side. No fishies here, my friend. Why? Why would I bother throwing it on the side? We're like 3 feet away here. Because there's some really smart fish on the other side going, hey, over here, guys, quick, quick, quick. I just saw them throw the net. And he runs over to the other side. And then if the net comes over there, they're all going to swim back to the other side and they're going back. Not quite, right? Missed us. This is silly advice. Maybe is what Peter might have thought. This is never going to work. Throwing it on, this is crazy. Why the heck, right? Watch this. So Peter is like, okay, because you say so, I'll give it a try. He throws his net on the other side of the boat and there are so many fish in the net that the net begins breaking. Suddenly he looks up and he's like, oh, I didn't realize who you were. Watch this response in verse 8 of Luke 5. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, what did he do? Let's say it out loud. What did he do? He fell on his knees before Jesus. And in an act of repentance, watch his heart. He doesn't say, oh, I worship you. You're so good. Thank you for giving me all those fish. No, he says, oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. I'm too much of a sinner. This is an act of repentance. This is so beautiful. Jesus never turns away a sinner with a repentant heart, friends. He never does. There's some of you right now, you're even surprised you're even in church. You might be thinking, if I go in church, the roof might fall, the burning building will burn up. People are going to look at me and know what I actually did and see right through me. And you get this really uncomfortable feeling like I don't belong. Listen to me, friends. It doesn't matter how bad you have behaved. You belong in the presence of God with a repentant heart. Jesus never turns anyone away who comes to him and says, I've fallen, I feel, forgive me, I'm sorry. Peter, he falls on his knees in repentance. And Jesus says, guess what? From now on, you're not just going to fish for fish, but you're going to become a fisher of men. I've got a special purpose for you, friend, and it's not fishing like you think. Here's the good news, friends. Scripture teaches us that when you confess your sins, our God is faithful and just to forgive all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I can fall on my knees. I can collapse before God and say, God, I've done something wrong. I know you will forgive me. Please forgive me in Jesus' name. In that moment, you will experience the grace of God. And you may want to stay on your knees for a little while to worship the one who freely forgives you. Some of you, you're going to want to kneel in pursuit of God. Some of you, you're going to want to kneel in repentance. Now, there are others of you, you're going to want to kneel in, here's a third one, in submission. Maybe for the first time in your life, or maybe in a particular area where you won't let it go. Why? Because you want to control it, right? Today, before we finish up, you can kneel in submission before God. Now, I don't know if you've ever wrestled or if you like wrestling. Not WWF, that's so fake, but like UFC or something like that. I really can't stand watching it myself. It doesn't really, you know, don't really want to do that very often. But hey, when somebody gets the opponent in a headlock or in a hold, and they're like at the very, very end, and they're about to pass out, what do? If they can't breathe or their arm's about to snap, what do they do? What do? They tap out. I submit. I surrender. I give up. I can't do this. There are some of you here in this moment. You're like that with God, aren't you? There are some areas of your life that you are wrestling in and you won't tap out to Him. I want it this way. It's supposed to be this way. My family raised me this way. I was born this way. I can't stand it. I want it my way. Listen, friends, there are some of you here that God has been reaching out to you for years and you won't tap. You won't surrender to His plans for you, which, by the way, is far better than your own plan. Some of you are still trying to do this in your finances. Some of you are doing this in your marriage. Some of you need to tap and kneel in surrender today. What's crazy is this. Jesus did this too. Jesus, the one we celebrate, born of a virgin in the little manger, was born to die. Jesus, being God revealed in the flesh, knew what was coming ahead. He never sinned against God, and yet He knew the agony that He would face becoming sin for all humanity. Everything we've ever done wrong, that's what He became. So much so that God actually turned His face away from Him. And He faced the terror of dying on the cross without the presence of His Father who had sustained Him through everything. Now Jesus understood this was coming. And this is what He did in that moment. In Luke chapter 22, verses 41, Jesus withdrew. He was with His disciples in the garden and He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond His disciples. What did Jesus, the Son of God, do? He knelt down and He prayed. He got down on His knees and He prayed. What did He pray? He prayed a prayer of surrender. He said, Father, if You're willing, take this cup from me. Yet, let's all say it. Say it aloud with me, friends. Yet, not my will, but Yours be done. Kneeling in submission. Not my will. Not my will, but Yours be done. Some of you, that's what you need to pray today. Tap out, friends. Not my will, God, but Your will be done in this situation. I surrender everything. Sometimes you look at people and you say, you seem so strong. How do you do it? Some might ask you, how do you keep going in the midst of all this opposition, these trials, these problems you're going through? It's because I have knelt in surrender to the living God. Kneeling to pray is often what gives you the strength to stand, friends. Kneeling to pray is often what gives you the strength to stand. For some of you, it's time to lift up holy hands before God. For some of you, it's time to bring your gifts of time, energy, and finance to give good worship to God. For some of you, it's to pour out your hearts and to remember His faithfulness. Maybe for you, it's time for a new and very worshipful, surrendered, submissive posture of worship in awe before God, as literally kneeling down before Him. Come, let us kneel before our God and worship Him, the Lord God, our Creator. Now, I'll let you in on a little secret. You ready for this? You and I can kneel here and now today, or we can kneel later, either or, but you're going to kneel before Him. You're going to kneel before Him. You can kneel now in pursuit or in repentance and in submission as an act of worship, act of surrender, or one day when it isn't your choice, you'll kneel then. Because this is what the story in Scripture teaches us. Philippians 2 and 8 says, and being found in the appearance as a man, Jesus, why was He born? To humble Himself and become obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him a name that is above every other name. And that name of Jesus, say it with me, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge. The good news and the reason we follow and celebrate Jesus today is that we acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Our God never asked us to bow before Him because He knew that when we know who He is, sometimes our only reasonable response would be to bow down and worship Him. He is a good God, and our appropriate response is to give Him good worship. So today, over the next few moments, I want to give you that opportunity to bow down and worship Him all around the room, online, in your living room, wherever you are listening in today. As you reflect in prayer right now, some of you may recognize you have never knelt before God in worship before, that you maybe haven't knelt down and surrendered before Him. There are areas in my life that I want to control and grip onto, something that I'm not willing to tap out in. And in this moment, as the Holy Spirit is nudging your thoughts, You are recognizing, I need to let this go. I've been trying to get it my way and my will, but I want to surrender and say, God, not my will, but yours be done. I trust you and your will to be done in my life. I've been trying to control it. I've been trying to dictate it. But in this moment, I will kneel before you, God, in surrender and by faith in surrender before you. Maybe today, as we are praying, you might be recognizing that you haven't been pursuing Jesus as of late in your life, distracted with every other cause around you or values. Maybe even, never up to this day, recognizing that my heart has not been in the posture of kneeling in humility before God. Maybe you have sins that have distorted your view and perspective of God, things that you're doing you're not quite designed to live in. Maybe in this moment, I can kneel in pursuit of Jesus as my forgiver and leader, surrendering my whole life to him. I choose to let you lead me, Jesus. I choose in this moment to let you change my life for your glory so that I can live for you to the fullest. My life is not my own. Today, I give it to you. Thank you, Jesus, for this new life and this freedom in Christ Jesus. And you will know the truth, John 8:32, and the truth will set you free, friends. In verse 36, if the Son sets you free from sin, then become true, a true son, and be unquestionably free. Thank you, Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and making a way for me to be in relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing my sin and shame, for healing my hurt and brokenness. I choose to receive this extravagant gift of life in this moment and ask you to come into my heart and be the Lord and leader of my entire life. I give you all of me and ask you to lead my life for your glory. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me live this life you died to give me. Show me how to activate your word and scripture in my life. Reveal to us where we can walk in the freedom that you've designed us to walk in, Lord. Holy Spirit, reveal any areas in our lives that grieve you or has reduced our interaction. We're so distracted by interaction with your presence in our lives. Help us to align our hearts, ourselves, our lives, our living, our values with your will, your truths, and your pathway in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, hey, if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus. If you would like to publicly declare your decision, I want to go public and to all those friends and family around me, my spiritual family at church, in that decision to follow Jesus by being baptized into Christ and baptized into his body, let us know. We'd love to walk that out with you. At Beloved City Church, we are passionate about what God has called us to do in this city, to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around Jesus. Not everything else, Jesus. Making an impact for eternity, both in us and in those around us. Will you take a step to partner your time, energy, and money with us at Beloved City Church to help us grow the day-to-day ministries, our reach at Beloved City Church? Here's how you can do it, friends. Join our Big Table family. Make it official. Sign up for the next family discovery night. Discover what it means to be a family member of this local church. Number two, join the Grow team. Help out, serve, get off the bench and serve. Be a part of the team and help serve others. Work alongside a team at Beloved. There's plenty of things that we do around here that you can be a part of. We love it. And last but not least, friends, will you prayerfully consider worshiping God with your money by giving financially, bringing your gifts before God to Beloved at Beloved City Church? Help us grow a dynamic Jesus-centered church in this life. Your help does count. Thank you so much. God, we love you. We worship you. Friends, we love you. We're praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you in a powerful way today. In Jesus' name, amen.